Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Foch's Corner with Coach Chris Phony Bennett, the producer T Dubs. Chris Havlicek will be joining us shortly, and I'm Mark Jerome. Coach, tough week for UVA basketball. We had you all set to come on the pregame show to talk about what was happening in social media, and I know you had some good stuff.
I was excited about that, and I don't know that we've probably not talked about this before, but T-Dubs got us working with some new technology where we can do these cool broadcasts before games, and fans can come in and they can chat, and I was looking forward to it. We had some special guests lined up that I think UVA fans would have been excited about to drop in, and we'll have to, just like the team, we will have to reschedule that because that's going to be a really neat thing moving forward.
Yeah, Mark.
But it sucks that we don't have basketball. Yeah, let's be clear about that.
Yeah, pausing. We did. Mark and I did a little. In lieu of not having the game, we kind of prepped with London. Right? You want to talk about that, Mark?
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, we
did a Villanova UVA rewatch 2017 game in Philly. I think is it the Bank One Center or whatever? Yeah.
Wells Fargo, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we watched it with London.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because he was supposed to come on. Now, when did you guys do that?
Yesterday afternoon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and what we did was we watched the game and then talked about the game with London and talked about various parts of coaching strategies. And when I watch games, I don't watch games I watch them for entertainment because I love it so much. But I also watch what the strategies are of the defenses and the offenses and the different offenses they're running and out of bounds plays and presses and even from the tip drill, from the tip play. But this game was so well coached. It was so well played. There were so many NBA players.
Who were they playing? It was Virginia New?
Villanova.
Oh, okay. That one. Okay.
Yeah. No, it was
Ty's coming out party. Remember that?
Right. Oh, yeah.
It was remarkable, that game. It was on such a high level. And the coaching was so superior, like just little things that people, no one's going to pick up on, right? That London was able to talk about and share with the audience, right? Yeah. Different players and the different strategies the coach were using, like moving Devin from a guard spot to the four spot in that game. And then him integrating and Bennett integrating him in different positions.
Yeah, it was
and
cool.
How it impacted the team. And then what strategies Jay Wright used with slipping the screen, right? And I remember talking to Ty about that, actually. It was such a high-level game, and so it was like a chess match.
Right. And so that was the one at Villanova?
Yep.
And so Villanova won that one, right?
Yep. That's a DiVincenzo – spoiler alert, DiVincenzo tips it in at the buzzer.
That was
you didn't know now.
I was at the one, I guess, was that 2016 at JPJ?
Yeah, the year prior.
Yeah, that we won, and I actually – my buddy got us lowers, way overpaid for lowers, but man, well,
that's probably worth that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause and I think they won it that year, right? Then they went in 2016. So
it's
like, okay, got to see the champions get beaten and, you know, by my team. So,
look out for that one. So we have two forms, like we have now this VIP thing. So on the VIP, you'll be able to fully watch with London. And then, for everyone else, you can listen, and then we'll link the YouTube video that we watched along with it, so you can put on your headphones, and then you can listen and pause and rewatch and,
gotcha.
And kind of tune in with Lynn. It's really cool. Like it's going to be fun for everyone. We're hoping to do a bunch of series of these.
That's a brilliant idea. It's like director's commentary.
Yeah, exactly. And you can watch, you know, good excuse for moments like this to rewatch old games when there's no UVA game on. You can go watch your favorite game, and hopefully we'll have some commentary that you can overlay it.
I was singing your praises today on Twitter because I mean, you guys just have access to these athletes and stuff, and you're doing some really special things. So I feel privileged to, you know, have a little spot staked out here for now.
Yeah, it's great. We always love having you on. And then on that VIP front, I was going to just make sure everyone knows we've been getting a lot of questions about it. We sold a ton of VIPs and obviously appreciate everyone supporting what we're doing. It's really incredible. So the shipping deadline, we have next week. So I think December 17th is the USPS deadline. So I'll of course tweet it out to give everybody the heads up. And for those that want to know some of the items you could get, and I've got a lot of questions on, hey, what if I get something in my monthly box and I don't like it, what do I do? And like, you can cancel anytime. We'll stop it. The annual one, you're going to get a few packages a few months at a time, so you won't get a package every month. You might get, like, for example, this month, because it's the holidays, we're going to give you a couple of months in there so that when you open it, you've got a lot of items, and, you know, put some under the tree, give some away. And Phony, we sent you a few, you know, samples.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. This isn't on video, and I'm not even a visor guy, but we've got this Everlast logo. I mean, that's what you would call it.
Yeah.
An Everlast Virginia logo on a visor. And it's a good looking visor. I mean, I've never worn a visor in my life, and I'm actually kind of excited. So
yeah, it's fully embroidered. And then, yeah, we sent you an apron.
Yeah, this apron is sweet. I'm going to be cooking this weekend, so I'm going to try to get an action shot using the apron, but it's got the defense.
Well, I'm sure care of Dick Bennett. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, yeah. we mix it up. So as a VIP, you're especially the all access, you're going to get a variety of things like this. This month we have those exclusive hoodies. We got a bunch that aren't on the site, and everyone that's right. gotten them has loved them. Like, oh my right. gosh.
So that's what's killer. You guys are doing stuff that's not for sale.
Yeah. So. We think that's the coolest yeah. part. And we have older samples. We have the UMBC stuff. We have, like, you know, stuff that we've kept and saved for the moment like this. So cool. I'm wearing a Ralph's House hat right now. I think Mark's got some posters and different things coming. So again, we'll tweet out more, but a lot of cool stuff coming. So appreciate everyone. Other note, two happy birthdays we wanted to wish. Obviously Brian Stith, I named my son after him. Happy birthday. And Ball Hawk. They share a birthday, Ahmad Hawkins. Go check out their social media as well.
Yeah, two great who's.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. I wished Ballhawk a happy birthday. I didn't realize it was Stith's birthday too. I gotta go.
Incredible. Yeah. We'll jump into. We have a lot of tweets, but we'll narrow it down a little bit this week. Here, I'll jump in. Let's see here. We'll start with. I don't know. We'll probably save. We should save Coach K for Hav.
Joining us. Yeah, he's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. So we'll some of these. I want to hear.
So yeah, this these two, the other one, the throwback Thursday that Fresh sent us. This is pretty cool. I don't know if you guys have seen this. I'll link this below. But this has. Do you recognize some of these players? It's got.
Well, that's Corey, right?
Yeah, Corey right here. He looks so young.
I'm not even sure Corey can grow a beard in that
picture. He looks so young there, Junior. Yeah. Oh, Anthony Oliver right here. Chris Alexander. Like, Yuri, there's DJ YB.
Yeah.
Is that pretty cool? Goodness. Chris Havlicek right here. And Brian Stith. This is a really cool photo.
That's cool. Is that Junior?
Yeah. Junior, yeah.
Yeah.
Right here. Pretty wow. neat.
Oh, Chris Alexander in the back there?
Yeah, right here.
Yeah.
I don't know who this is. It's familiar, but I don't know who that is.
It looks like a tight-knit group.
Yeah, it does. I mean, then they are, right? Still to this day, those guys hang out.
Man, I'm trying to click on that tweet on the screen that you're showing to retweet it. I realize I'm just clicking on the video of your screen. Okay.
And then the other one we haven't talked about. Chris Long joined Charlotte Wilder and Mark Titus on the pod. That was really cool. You know, them talking about Charlotte's new found fandom, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it.
She's hilarious.
And she said she'd go come on the podcast, right?
So. Yeah. She said on Twitter she would definitely come on the show. But you know, so we'll try to schedule that. And you know, we know those aren't always guaranteed. We just got to work on doing it at a date and time. Whereas a lot of us have day jobs, and so sometimes it's difficult. But
yeah,
it will be our goal to get her on, or at least on one of these pregame shows that we're doing, because she's hilarious and just really fun to listen to talk about sports.
And then last night we had Mike Huff tweet, I wish Jay could have played with Anthony Gill. He and Malcolm were two of the best leaders I've seen in college basketball.
Wow. That's high praise for Anthony.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Malcolm is a leader.
Those two. I mean, that's another list. Top leaders in Virginia basketball history.
And I'd be interested in hearing from what the players on the teams had to say.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
yeah, obviously they're going to be biased towards their guys.
Like, we might assume that the guy is the most vocal is the leader. But, right. You know, that's not always the indicator of real leadership. So, yeah, Mark, we got to get Ty on here to talk about who he saw as the leaders.
Yeah, we had London on. I mean, we could – maybe that's a new segment we could start adding to our player. Like, who was the top leader they played with? I always think of a leader as like when you're coming in as a first year and the upperclassman, right? Those not necessarily, but maybe that's not true. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it could be someone who just comes in and is a leader and doesn't matter about the seniority and the age.
That's the thing. I mean, Kie has definitely shown leadership, even, you know, as an underclassman.
What was that, Mark?
That's rare.
Yeah. Yeah. To come in out of the gate, you mean?
I know.
Right. When you've got to earn the respect of the older players.
Right. But it also has to be your personality. Like we had the Sam Hauser's parents on the other day talking about Sam on the Jay Willie show, talking about Sam and talking about the different personalities between Sam and Joey. And she was saying that Sam is just that really nice kid. He's so respectful. He's not that, you know, he's going to win Citizen of the Year award. So he's not that rah-rah loud leader. Right. He's a leader, I think, probably by, you know, just by doing.
Right.
Right. By example. By
physical by example, right. But it's also more like just because he's so good. So that people are going to lead following him. A lot of times people lead the best player, but the best player is kind of is quiet. People aren't going to necessarily lead after that. Follow that guy.
Right. Yeah. And it's not just the guy that's, you know, yelling and being loud on the court. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes the leaders are the guys that are going to put their arm around the guy that just screwed up and, you know, take him a couple steps toward the sideline and have a, you know, have a chat and help someone get their head straight and stuff. And, you know, you can't always see that stuff on TV. And so I think it'd be good to listen to the players.
It's so important what you just said. It really is. And you, it just can't be one way. And you want to always support your teammates as a leader. Everybody's not, no one plays 100% perfect game.
All right. What about the adaptability? I think we've heard Ty talk about the not everyone wants to be led the same way, and to know, like, hey, some guys don't aren't going to respond to me yelling at them, cursing them out, and other people will. Like, that's a tough one for an 18-year-old coming into college to figure out, I imagine.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, yelling at someone is probably the coach's responsibility, coach's duty, and no player should do that to another player, but you're also talking about the bigger picture of culture.
Right.
And I was even talking today with Ty about about culture and about a couple of different NBA teams. And he's saying he's so impressed. Who knows what's going to happen with OKC. Maybe he stays there. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he gets to play. Maybe he doesn't. But he said he's so impressed with the culture there. And the rule is everyone gets treated with respect from the time you walk in that building. From the guy that sells Cracker Jacks to the person that cleans the bathroom to the general manager to the players. And he's saying that's fair.
Yeah,
but that's what he really did cool. say, what was really remarkable and really comforting was he said what it reminded him of is Virginia.
Hmm. All right.
That's great.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's very telling.
Yep.
I mean, I remember Devin saying that too. Like, hey, you know, when he was at the Final Four, he was just like, hey, it's rare. The camaraderie at UVA is so, he's like, definitely he didn't realize what he had. Once he left, he's like, oh crap, that was amazing, right? And so
if there are schools that are committing transgressions and violations between the school and the players, and if there are certain conferences that excel in that behavior,
right?
if there are, you can understand and you can see why some of those schools who are predicted to win because they get the top players don't always win.
Right. Right.
Right. You know, and I think when, if some players are receiving impermissible benefits, it creates an imbalance.
Oh, sure.
Right. Like, I mean, you know, one of the stories that's always told, and this is fairly public, and I'm not saying there was cash pass between families and the school, but there was an issue between Marvin Bagley and Wendell Carter. Gotcha. Right. The mother kind of made it public.
All right. Wow. Yeah. I mean, and they don't, I imagine they wouldn't talk about it with each other because it's already like a such thing. Right. So it's kind of like, even though it could be even, you might still think, oh, you got more than me. Right. Without even having to say anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if I were the feature player and all of a sudden I was getting all the attention, all of a sudden, not only do not get the attention because you recruit another player, but also if you gave me something, and I'm not saying that she was given anything because I don't know.
Right.
There's rumors floating around. But now a new person comes and they become more celebrated than you and their package is nicer. Right. How's that going to make me feel as a player and as a parent?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times parents will relay their feelings and their messages to their children.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And again, I think that if you have an environment where impermissible benefits are permitted and passed on, it's creating such an imbalance.
Right. Yeah. That's all about culture too. Right. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
That has got to ring true for so many programs. And a lot of it is hard. I'll give it up. It's gotta be really hard for someone like Coach K or Coach Calipari to control if it's truly out of control and boosters are doing things and feeling empowered to go and do things. Like, that's tough. That's a tough culture to.
Yeah. You know what though, T-Dubs, I gotta imagine that at those schools, they're in such control.
Yeah.
Right. And that's one of the things that's going on with violations right now with the NCAA.
Right.
Right. The head coach and the schools will get blamed for and have to be responsible and control their program, managing their program. If not, they get penalized, which right. I think is fair. Like we don't think that Kay is aware of if there is stuff going on, he's right. Got to be aware of it. Right. It's not right. Like not that blind.
The best coaches just keep it at arm's length enough to, you know, have plausible deniability, but someone like Coach K is not going to have stuff like that going on in his program without knowing it. You know, right. Someone in who is in control. I mean, because that's what we're supposed to believe. Like, these people are the best at their profession and they are, they manage every single detail, but that's all going on. What? Yeah, it's whatever.
T Dubs, can we talk about our event, our night out after the UNC UVA game a couple of years ago?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You remember that?
Yeah.
We went out to the bar with my buddy Lance and his friend who had his own podcast in North Carolina. Right. And I think it was Blue Bloods or something like that, where he did a podcast on Virginia. I'm sorry, UNC and Duke.
Right.
And we were hanging out. This was after the UNC game, and it was like at 11:30 at night or 12 o'clock when we first went out and we got to the spot. And he was like, I could tell you guys who the Duke booster is, the money man, the bag dropper is.
Right.
But I'm just not going to say anything right now. He gets one drink in him and he starts talking a little bit more. By his second drink, he was like, oh, this is who it is. This is his name. This is what he looks like.
And given that he's a UNC alum, and right, so take that for what it's worth. But again, the rumors are definitely out there, and I've heard rumors of, you know, players going in coaches' offices saying, hey, here's what Duke's offering. What are you going to do?
Right.
So it's just like,
yeah, I've heard some things over the years from, yeah. And it's just, it's like, if it's getting back to me, so many people know about this, and that's the thing. I mean, everyone in a position to do something about it is going to know about it. And it's really a matter of the NCAA ignores as much as they can because they are made up.
Right.
I mean, they are controlled by the people they would presumably punish.
Right.
They don't want that.
Well, speaking of that, a couple of things. One, the Zion Williamson thing is public knowledge, right? It's in reports that you can read how much money he was given, how he was moved from his apartment or his house in South Carolina to his family moved to North Carolina and the cars. And that's a whole big fight going on, which is crazy because the initial, and I think it started because the woman he hired as his marketing agent, he fired when he became a client of CAA.
Right. And
they wanted to represent him as his agent and his marketing people. And the woman who I actually met in the elevator before the Duke Carolina game, before the Duke UVA game, oh my goodness. It was funny, my brother and I were going into our hotel, and I think that was the night before the Virginia Duke game of 2018 year we won. 2018, 2019. Oh my gosh, I can't remember years. Anyway, so we're in the elevator with this woman and she's like, oh, I'm just here. And we start talking to her and she's got a big company. She works with BDA. She gets contracted out by Bill Duffy Associates so often. Seemed really nice. And then we saw him at the game and then we saw him again later. And then it turned out this was the woman that was originally hired by Zion Williamson to represent him. And so I think what happened was when he fired her, she was like, oh, really? Okay. Well, here's the deal now. I'm going to share everything. I'm going to share all.
Right. Well, because that's the thing, right? Because he fired her using the justification that she hadn't given a disclosure that he would lose his amateur status by signing an agent. And that's enough to void the contract. So then she was in a position to try to prove that he had already lost his amateur status, and therefore that point was moot. And I mean, it's hilarious. I wish we'd gotten some more concrete details on that, but I don't know who looks at that and thinks, oh, no, I'm sure Zion just went there because he wanted a good Duke education for 9 months and learned
right.
from, like, you know, you know there was funny business going on, but you just don't want to do anything about it.
Yep. And then that brings up the other point of the whole thing that happened with these coaches recently who were fired, not only fired, but they went to jail for a couple of months.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Book Richardson, who was the assistant in Arizona, right? And
right.
He is on tape saying, here's some money. But how should these guys go to jail for that? Will the head coaches get off scot-free?
Yeah. Right. Imagine just doing your job, trying to do it the best way you know how, and you go to jail for it. Like that's scary.
Yeah, there's so much. I remember there was some big commit that flipped from, I think it was maybe UNC or Duke to Stanford or UCLA or something a few years ago. It was some PAC school, but and I immediately got like this message from someone who I'd known to be connected previously into that side of things, not anyone affiliated with Virginia, but was like, yeah, here's what happened. And here's the runner for the shoe company. And then it's so-and-so's brother. And like, he's just like laying it all out. It may have been one of the guys that ended up getting indicted for these other things. And it's like so many people know about
this. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is wild.
But yeah, I'm not sure why the government felt compelled to get involved.
So I was having that conversation today or yesterday. And I think what my feeling is, they arrested the guy, the money guy, financial advisor of some football players who was stealing money from them. Right. And when they caught him, he all of a sudden says, okay, don't take me to jail. Here's a story for you.
Right.
With the feds. So right. If you're the feds, I think you probably have to investigate that.
Right. Yeah.
Is my guess.
I mean, nothing else. It's tax evasion too, right? Somebody gives you 50 grand in a car under the table without taxes, then immediately that's a problem, right? That's illegal.
If it's illegal, what do they look for? But I mean, I guess if it fell in their lap, I mean, I don't know. I think there's also laws, at least in some jurisdictions, about inducing people to break a contract, improperly inducing them to violate a contract that they've agreed to and stuff. And so there's all kinds of stuff you can get guys on, but yeah,
I mean, I guess Duke is a private, I'll just go, if we go down that road, Duke is private, and if they paid somebody. Let's just say they actually had to pay somebody. They could actually pay them, and we could. There's no like Freedom of Information Act that we can go grab at their private institution,
right?
There's nothing we can do about that. But not, I don't think that's the case. But nonetheless, kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's some agreements you give to the NCAA, but I don't know if one of the agreements is they, you know, agree to release any financial records like that. I don't know how much the NCAA is allowed to request an investigation. They don't have subpoena power. And
yeah, they don't.
And that's why it's always been run through boosters, because they can't do anything with a private individual. I mean,
right.
The school has to talk to them at least. You know, a private individual, they owes the NCAA nothing. And right. So that's why the system has always worked so well for those guys. Some, you know, some kid has a handler that he needs to pay off, you know, Coach Self or whatever, you know, puts the handler in touch with the booster, and those two are handling it. And, you know, there's no way the NCAA is ever going to have any evidence of that payment.
While we're on the subject of Duke, let's go ahead and play this. It's a minute long. This first, today's update from Coach K.
Everyone is
you guys hear that?
All right. This is a truly an incredible time, and has been, you know, for our country. And it's at its worst time right now. And, you know, and making sure that we're doing the right thing for our players, you know, just for safety, you know, we're not going to play any non-conference games. We're not going to try to reschedule. We could reschedule three games, and we're not going to do that. And, you know, we're going to play conference and hopefully get to play all of them. We're also going to allow our team to go home for Christmas. They won't be there for Christmas Day, but these kids need to be with their families for a little bit at least. And so we're going to have a 4 or 5 day period where they can be home after our Notre Dame game and then come back before the actual Christmas Day and get ready for the rest of the ACC schedule. But yeah, just for our fans out there, these kids go through a lot, you know, and then it's, they're not paid employees, and we need to take care of them. So those are a couple of the decisions that we made, and we feel very good about them.
Interesting that he wore a USA shirt there. And not a Duke shirt, but anyway.
Right. Right. Well, it's all about
and not Duke.
And not Duke.
I mean, well, first of all, yeah. So he says there's three games they can reschedule. They canceled one game, the Gardner-Webb game. You know, everything else wasn't going to have to be back on the table anyway. Right. So, I mean, it's not as big a change as he's making it seem like. Does it make him any safer? I don't know. I guess I don't understand fully the reason for the change.
Right.
I mean, if they're still going to play, well, we're just not going to play anymore. If you think that's dangerous, but just basically canceling one game, I don't know. I don't know that deserves a video announcement.
How much of it is because they have two losses? Mark, what do you think?
Well, you guys sent me the text earlier of the tweet. Can we show that one now?
Yeah, let's
do it. Alabama coach Nate Oates.
Yeah. Here we go.
I just want to know your opinion. Do you think if Coach K hadn't lost the
let me turn up the volume so everybody can hear it.
Two non-conference games at home, if he'd still be saying that?
Probably not.
Okay, I just wanted you to say it, not me. So, look, here's my deal on it. I think we'd have a whole lot more problems if we weren't playing games. Like, everybody – talks about COVID. Here's the other thing. If COVID is so bad, all these I'm trying to do my best to keep the mask up. I've already had COVID, so I don't even – technically I shouldn't have to keep it up. Nobody can get it from me. No, I'm still within the 150 days that the NCAA's recommended. I see all these other guys that haven't had it, and they're masked down the whole game. It's like they got a chin strap on. So if they're really worried about COVID, you'd think their mask would be up the whole game, right? Like, I mean, so I think some of them are using – No, we should be playing, in my opinion. We 100% should be playing basketball. Nobody talks about the mental. There's a kid out of Detroit that went to another high major that I just talked to his uncle the other day because his cousin played for me in Detroit. He went to a high major school somewhere, mental health issue, came home because he was quarantined for weeks on end when he got there. Like, what are these guys going to do? If I got three daughters, like, they need to be in school. Like, humans aren't made to sit alone in isolation for weeks and weeks on end. We got to be careful with how we do life, but you still got to do life. Part of life, a huge part of life for all these guys I'm coaching is being in the gym playing basketball. So I think their mental health is in a much better spot playing basketball. I think the school, the SEC, the NCAA has done a really good job making sure that we're not putting any of them in danger. So I don't agree with them at all. And you answered the question for me. So thanks.
And that's Alabama coach Nate Oates on Coach K's comments.
I mean, I think he's perfectly within his rights, given Coach K's history of questioning K's motivation. Because twofold. K, after a bad loss, he loves to misdirect and to talk about something else, some guy's extracurricular activities or the court storming, the time UVA beat him, or there's always something. And then the broader thing, the couple times we've had bad teams and ended up going out on injury. You know, coincidence or not, I'm not passing judgment. I'm saying Coach K, there's reasons for people to think this is Coach K being Coach K. You know, even if we give him the benefit of the doubt, you've got the secondary question of, is what they're doing, the playing, is it unsafe? They've played 80% of games so far. That's not bad. I mean, we knew there were going to be cancellations just like they were in football. So if they can play 80% of games, we can still have a pretty decent season, I think.
Right.
And so then you look at what's really important, which is the health and safety of the players, the personnel, coaches, and all that. And I'm not aware of any evidence of any mass outbreaks of any added danger that we've seen so far from the way they've been conducting it. I mean, these players are getting tested all the time. And so I haven't seen the reason to shut it all down. You know, when Michigan State canceled, that's my first reaction was just shut the season down. I'm over this because it's inconvenient and it pisses me off when my team's game gets canceled. But because it's inconvenient, does that mean you just stop? I don't think there's evidence. You know, if it starts changing and COVID starts sweeping through entire teams and stuff, right, you know, you need to reconsider. But as of right now, I don't think we're seeing anything that makes us say this is dangerous.
Right. I love this tweet from our friend Tate Frazier. He said that Coach K in three images. One is Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski says NCAA can't go another year without NCAA tournament. The next picture he posts was the loss 83-68. And then the next picture is Duke coach questions playing basketball games during coronavirus.
I mean, so yeah.
What point was the first image from?
Beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, unfortunately, you know, here the thing about Coach K, yes, he's the greatest coach ever, probably the greatest coach in the game right now. Is the most magnanimous winner you'll ever see, man. What a gracious winner that guy is. But he is one of the worst losers in the game.
Yes.
Among the best coaches. Like, I mean, maybe Belichick is up there. I mean, Belichick's kind of an asshole after losses. But Kay is – he's just the worst when he loses. And so, you know, you don't put anything past him. Is he being sincere here? Yeah, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But I still – I think he's wrong based on what we're seeing.
Yeah. I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, and where's the Pete Godette jokes?
Yeah,
look, there's Pete. I remember, so I was a photographer at the Cavalier Daily when he went out with his back, because I guess so that had to be, what, 94, 95?
Yeah.
He went out, Pete Godette took over, and we had to scramble to find a picture. Like, do we have a picture of Pete Godette? And I found this great photo, and I think it's like Kay is leaning forward that I've taken of the bench and Pete Godette's leaning back, so it's just the two of them in this photograph. And I that was one of the photos I was so excited that I had, because you would just go through the archives with the loop and like, wait, is that Pete Godette? Because none of us knew what the hell he looked like at that point.
Yeah, this is really interesting to see what's going to happen from this. I mean, canceling one game, obviously. Yeah, I don't know if it needs a press conference, but ultimately he is the face of college basketball. He has a huge influence on this. And lots of people are going to talk like we're talking about it because he said it. So,
and that's why he's wearing the USA stuff, because he wants to speak for all of college basketball. Yeah. And he wants to. Yeah.
What's your take, Mark? You think, as a coach, are you like play on, or are you like, hey, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, I tend to agree. Like, he wouldn't be so quick to pull the plug if he had a really good team and he wasn't frustrated by his team. Right. But I think this is the result of guys leaving early and not having consistency, not having some older guys on your team who are tougher players. And he's probably frustrated some. And my guess is he's probably tired too. Right. Yeah. How old is he?
Yeah. Like 70, 77.
Yeah, I mean, he looks in great shape, but I mean, he could be tired and he could be frustrated. And, you know, one of the other things is for a big school like that to cancel your non-conference teams, I wonder if what the contract states, I wonder what the negotiations are, because they have to pay those schools
right
to come and play them.
Right.
Right. So they had to play. Gardner-Webb was about to make, I don't know how much they would have paid him during non-COVID season. My guess is probably somewhere between $60,000 and $90,000.
Yeah.
Right. And then I'm not sure who were their other non-conference games again. Do we know?
Well, that was the only one scheduled that they canceled.
Yeah. There were three he said they could have rescheduled. I don't know who those were. I didn't know.
I wonder if if Duke just writes them a check.
Says we'll get you next year.
Well, that's where it comes down to contract law, because what are the grounds for cancellation? Right. And you get into force majeure and all kinds of crazy language. Force majeure, is that the one that applies here, or could apply?
Yeah, but when it's
the bottom line, there's a lot of stuff related to those contracts that has not been tested in court. So hopefully they're doing the right thing and saying, you know what, Gardner-Webb, we're going to pay you anyway.
Yep. Yeah.
Or pay you minus what we think your travel fees would have been, like there's some kind of, you know, reasonable buyout.
But if I am expecting a check, and I think there had to be some kind of adjustments in those checks from the start of the season when everyone agreed, like, okay, we'll still play the games, but under the COVID, our budget is massively reduced.
Right.
So this is what we can afford. Instead of giving you 100, we're only going to give you 50. Well, now if I'm canceling the game completely, and again, I think it could go back to lawyers having a battle. If Duke were to say, nah, we're not going to pay you at all. But my guess is, Duke probably doesn't want that negative press and bring up more about and more people attacking and assailing Shefty for canceling those games. And with the possibility of him just saying, because his teams isn't nearly as good. Right. They're not that good of a team, right? Like when you watch them play Illinois, you watch them play against Michigan State, watch them play, like they're okay.
Yeah.
It's not too different from us. We don't look that great. We haven't like exactly been lighting the world on fire. Are we happy the Michigan State game is potentially postponed?
I'm not happy. I wanted to see us play it. I wasn't anticipating a win, to be quite honest. I mean, I would have been very pleasantly surprised if they had won, but I wanted to see us play because we need to get better, and that's getting...
We'd rather play it.
That's what's going to get us
right better versus...
Right.
Say, hey, maybe with the game ultimately is better for us if it's in March.
Right. I mean, this might be the rare Izzo team that is already peaking. I mean, think about how many great Izzo teams have lost games in November.
Early.
And you go, well, they are learning and they're coming together. And you know, that's kind of the route I saw this team going. Yeah. But now if we don't get those early games, and we were supposed to have Florida, we lost Florida. We were supposed to have Michigan State, we lost Michigan State. Are we going to get Villanova? Are we just going to end up jumping feet first into ACC play?
Right.
Right. That game is scheduled for what? 10 days? Nova?
19th.
19th.
Yeah.
8 days? I don't even know what today is.
9 days.
Yeah. 9 days. So going, but I think, so what's the risk of playing Michigan State, right? If both teams are healthy. The risk is, okay, if we lose, Bennett has lost to Izzo 3 times.
Yeah.
So Izzo has that over him, right?
Yeah, we have 2 losses for the season, I guess.
Right, but at the end, but I think that you want to play that game, even if you lose now, because I don't think TB's worried about his record against Izzo versus right. his team getting better and having an opportunity to get a lot better playing right. against a high caliber team.
Right. Team
gonna, well, he'd rather have the measuring stick now.
And it, yeah, absolutely. And just stuff to work on and get better and better.
Yeah. Barring injury, you're going to have a better team at the end of that game than you do at the start of that game.
It would be so helpful for their maturation process. Right. And just looking able to see, okay, this is because they haven't played against a high level team yet.
Yeah.
Right. So it's so helpful to play a team like that early in the season. And then just, as you said, T-Dubs, using that as a barometer and continue to get better and better and better. Right. And say, and be able to look at that game on film and realize, okay, this is who we are. This is hope where we hope to get to. But if, you know, in that process, this is what we need to do. So those games can be so helpful strategically.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. So then what about the other side of it? How does Gardner Webb feel? They're about to go play Duke at Cameron.
They're so disappointed.
Yeah, they got to be.
They're so, this is their chance to be on ESPN. I imagine that Duke's on ESPN every night. So I imagine that they're going to be on ESPN. Right. Gardner Webb, though, they were so good a couple of years ago. But then they had at least two, maybe three guys that transferred out. So I don't even know how good they are now.
Yeah, but barring a tournament appearance for a lot of those guys, this would have been
a big game,
the highlight of their college basketball career.
All right.
Duke on national team.
This is it. That's right. Going back to Alabama and Duke, can we see that game as being the like ESPN tip-off game next year?
That would be awesome.
That'd be great. A lot of bad.
Everybody would be tuned in.
I did like the coach's comments about all the, you know, if they're so worried, why are they all wearing their chin diapers or whatever? Yeah. It's maddening. Like, you watch all the coaches and they
pull it down under their nose
until they want to yell, and then they take their mask off so they can make sure they can really get those germs as far out as possible. You know, I would think when you're yelling is when you need the mask most of all, but I'm no epidemiologist.
Yeah, so latest Virginia tweets, UVA to pause all men's activities. I mean, this is nothing really crazy here, but Rise and Shine with Packer and Durham was also canceled, paused, everything paused, essentially.
I mean, I guess we'll see. It's only a 7-day pause now, necessarily, right? They don't have to shut down
7 to 10, right? I think. Yeah, I don't know. No, I think it's 10. It's 10 days. So right at the Villanova game.
Gotcha.
So,
which means they can't practice, right?
They can't practice. No.
Well, I would assume Tuesday is when they would be their last day, right? So yeah, maybe it's Thursday. Yeah.
How do you beat a Villanova team without practicing?
Yeah, that's a tall task.
2 weeks.
I do one while we're on here. Give a shout out to the ACC teams that did play last night, because the ACC got its butt kicked the first night.
Yeah,
challenge. God. I thought it was over, and I mean, so it ends up it's difference of one, and there's three games that were postponed. ACC went 4-0 last night. That's darn impressive.
Yeah, it was looking bad. It was looking bad that first night.
Hey, can we go back to Virginia and Michigan State really quickly?
Yeah.
Were you guys surprised that Virginia was favored?
I was shocked.
Yeah. I mean, now Michigan State looked really good against Duke. Maybe Duke's just not very good. We'll leave open that possibility. But Michigan State looked like a, you know, one of those early contenders. And we have not looked like that other than our first game. But we haven't looked like we haven't played any real competition to know. So I don't know what Vegas is thinking there.
The only thing I can think of is Kent State, who we beat in overtime, beat up on Detroit Mercy, who Michigan State only beat by 6 or 7.
Right. Vegas usually doesn't use that logic. So
I wouldn't imagine they would use that formula either.
Yeah. But when you only have 4 games, you really don't have much to go off of.
Yeah, but if you're going off of who's Michigan State played and they beat at Duke,
right?
Beat up Duke at Duke pretty well. They beat Notre Dame. I can't remember if that game. I think that game was at Notre Dame. They beat them handedly. Notre Dame's not that good. I mean, when I say not that good, I just need to sometimes clarify this and qualify. Like, all these teams are so good, and all these players, right, are so good, right? Right. But right. As far as Notre Dame compared to the rest of ACC, they play two guards, 39, 40 minutes a game. They don't have a big bench. They play six guys. And the other guys don't play the bench. The one or two bench guys come off the bench, don't play much at all, but they beat them. They beat their pants off them.
Yeah.
Right? It ended up being like a 10-point game, but it was like a 20, 25 point game the whole way. So I don't know what you base off of, because if you base it off of Michigan, who Michigan State played, they played two fairly good teams, or at least traditionally two fairly good teams.
But I mean, I think what you always have to remember is Vegas doesn't really care what the score is going to be, and they're not trying to predict the score. They're setting the line to get equal betting on both sides.
Right.
Of the line,
yep.
Right. Which, you know, that may mean that a lot more people have faith in Virginia than in Michigan State.
And right.
There's more Virginia fans betting. I mean, there's a lot of different things. I think they could probably push it Virginia's direction. So they got to start giving Michigan State points to get more action on the other side. And,
that makes sense. Yeah. It could be more that, yeah, the bettors are still high on Virginia is all that meant, which
right.
Doesn't mean
right. It doesn't mean the bettors are wrong or that they're basing it on what they've seen so far this season. But no, I was looking forward to the game, and it sucks. I think they said when it happened that it was officially postponed. Yeah, and the tweet said postponed. So do we have hope that we'll see that game eventually this season?
I wonder how difficult it is for Michigan State now to play, take a trip to Charlottesville in the middle of a Big Ten season if things go according to plan. The Big Ten is going to be starting. I think conference play is starting very soon, right? So
tall
all of a sudden.
Task. Tall task.
Yeah. I find it hard to believe that they'd be able to make that game happen.
But there's a good chance we both have a week this season where all of our opponents have canceled and we're both looking for something to do. So
it's so true. It's so true. But if that's the case, in that opportunity of having a week off or 5 days off or whatever, am I going to try to schedule a trip down to Charlottesville with the risk again that somebody else could get sick? And now I come all the way down here and then I got to go all the way back versus going, maybe scheduling a game with, I don't know, Oakland or some other school, Oakland out of Michigan or some school out of Michigan close by. Or or Wisconsin close by.
Right. 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 There's probably not good enough reasons to make it happen.
The other crazy thing was this is not the first time a Virginia Michigan State Big Ten Challenge game was postponed. Right.
We played half of that other one, right?
Yeah. The other one.
Fill me in, Vince, please.
What's that?
Fill me in, please.
So there was a game at the Richmond Coliseum, and this was, I think, Roger Mason's time.
Yeah.
And they were the ice rink was underneath the court, and the condensation from the ice rink, I guess they installed it incorrectly or the temperature was unseasonably warm, and the condensation from the ice rink made the floor really slippery. So they tried to play the first half, a bunch of guys fell down and were slipping on the court. Second half started, and like first three plays guys were slipping,
right?
They postponed the game.
They were toweling it off between every whistle.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Every guy who cut was falling down. And that was really, that seemed to me like where the Pete Gillen era started going.
Right.
Like it seemed a big bit after that. Yeah. We were going to win that game, and it was really putting us on a nice trajectory. And did they make the tournament that year? Was that the one where they ended up playing Gonzaga?
I think it was. No, that was the year after.
Okay.
That was the year before, I mean. Gonzaga was the year before, and then the next year.
Right.
That was Rogers last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That game made me so mad.
Yeah, I remember the slip and slide game. What are the odds that it's that same matchup again postponed before?
Well, I mean, Michigan State, they're just snake, but obviously Tony's lost to him twice. The only time Tony Bennett's Green Bay squad made the NCAA tournament when he was a player, they lost to Michigan State.
Yep. Their Final Four loss, Wisconsin, was also Michigan State.
It's
two losses in the tournament at UVA, Michigan State. I mean, I wanted them in the finals, not Texas Tech. I just wanted to see it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, full redemption would have been that.
Right, exactly. You're trying to write the best story. That's who you play.
Right. But it's also terrifying to see Michigan State in the tournament.
That would have been some game.
Yeah,
but
that would have been.
You know, Texas Tech beat handed Michigan.
Yeah, they got them. Open. Yeah, yeah, the better team won.
Yeah,
and Texas Tech was great. That was amazing.
You really are good.
And then speaking of that, London already nominated himself to do the Michigan State rewatch. I think Anthony Gill was another one. So we'll do a rewatch series with, I mean, we could do a Michigan State one. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I remember that's the one at the Garden, right?
Yeah, the one at the Garden. And then the next year, the one in Charlotte. Yeah.
That'd
be. Trice, I think it was Trice, went and hit some crazy threes on Malk, and they pulled it out.
In the Garden or in?
No, that was the Charlotte one. I think it was Trice that got hot and hit a bunch of really deep threes that ultimately sealed the game.
But I remember being at both games.
Real name and gimmicks.
Yeah, that was a good one. All right. Appreciate it. Anything else? I was going to shout out this Chad. Chad Dotson, Cincinnati, tweeting at us. I'm going off brand for a moment. If you're a Virginia basketball fan and you aren't listening to the Locker Room Masters podcast, you're missing out. Fantastic trips to the history of the program. So thank you for that. That's really cool.
Thanks, Chad.
Yeah, thank
you. Did you tweet that out yet?
I retweeted it.
Phony's got 20,000.
Yeah, this guy has 10,000. Yeah, that's great. I appreciate that.
I only have like 30 followers, so it won't make much sense.
The algorithm will still appreciate it, but anyway,
I'm definitely going to retweet it. That's awesome. How did he discover it?
I mean, he's been a follower of Phony for a long time, so he's
who he follows. Bennett Conlin, he follows us, University Hall, Brian Stith, Jerry Reck. I mean, he's obviously a Virginia fan. So you're a Virginia fan and you're on Twitter or Instagram or anything, you probably know about us.
Yeah.
If you just read the Daily Progress and watch the news, you may not, but
awesome. Anyway,
pretty cool. Appreciate you guys.
He only follows 905 people.
Yeah.
It's a high percentage of Virginia people.
It really is. It's high. And he's got 9,000 followers. He's a podcaster himself. So maybe that lends himself to liking the medium of podcasts, but still.
I'd like to point out, I only follow 263 people.
Wow.
I'm very selective.
I'm really bad about the following with our Locker Room Access count. 430. Okay. I don't leave people out. I'm down to follow. Make sure you tag us if you want us to follow you.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. And thanks to everyone else for listening. We don't have to tell you about the podcast because you're listening to this.
Right. Yeah, this is not the audience that we need to tell about. But all right, guys.
Till next time. Thanks.
Till next time. Sign up for VIP.
That's right.